Welcome, welcome in the name of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus. We're in our pre-Lent time right now, these Jesima Sundays. And I have to tell you, this is one of my favorite Sundays in the entire church year. Because the focus in all of the readings, we heard it in the prelude and we'll hear it in our opening and closing hymn, is on the Word, the Word, the Word. That's where the power is and that's how God delivers the goods to us. So we pray God's blessings as we hear His Word and receive His gifts today. During this pre-Lent season, we kind of ease our way into Lent, and we generally refrain from the Alleluia, but today we just can't. As we sing Thy Strong Word, and one last time, get a few Alleluias out before we focus in a more somber way on the gifts of our Lord and Savior Jesus. Our opening hymn is Thy Strong Word, number 578. We'll sing the first four verses, and we'll pick up verses 5 and 6 at the end of the service. Worship today, Divine Service, setting 1. Setting 1, that's on page 151 and following. Have a worship insert. The readings are on one side. Propers are on the other. We'll make sure we're on the right page at the right time. Our focus today is on the epistle reading from Corinthians, Paul's letter to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 11 and 12. Our hymn of praise today is the Gloria. And before we sing, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time to fix our eyes on the Word made flesh, the Word that dwells among us, the Word that has lived and died and risen for us, the Word, Jesus Christ, the Word who has given us the Holy Scriptures, the Word to give us comfort, peace, forgiveness, life, and salvation. Instill in us, Lord, a deep and abiding hunger for Your Word. Today, teach us the importance of Your Word over our words. Heavenly Father, all these things we pray in the name and for the sake of Jesus, crucified and risen for us and for our salvation. Amen. Amen. 578, verses 1 through 4.
Thank you. worship, divine service, setting number one, page 151, we stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins unto God our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us.
Almighty God, in His mercy, has given His Son to die for you, and for His sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by His authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We turn to the words of the introit. We chant them together as printed on your bulletin insert. To the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
for the peace from above and for our salvation. Let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. To God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth.
God, the strength of all who put their trust in you, mercifully grant that by your power we may be defended against all adversity. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated.
The Old Testament reading for Sexagesima is from Isaiah chapter 55. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy, and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall break forth into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress, instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle, and it shall make a name for the Lord, an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We continue with the words of our gradual as printed on your service insert. We speak them together.
Let your enemies know that you alone, whose name is the Lord, are the most high over all the earth. O my God, make them like whirling dust, like chaff before the wind.
The epistle is written in 2 Corinthians chapters 11 and 12. For you gladly bear with fools, being wise yourselves. For you bear it if someone makes slaves of you, or devours you, or takes advantage of you, or puts on airs, or strikes you in the face. To my shame, I must say, we were too weak for that. But whatever anyone else dares to boast of, I am speaking as a fool, I also dare to boast of that. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they offspring of Abraham? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? I am a better one. I am talking like a madman, with far greater labors, far more imprisonments, with countless beatings and often near death. 5 times I have received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes less one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. 1 night and 1 day I was adrift at sea, on frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers, in toil and hardship, through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. And apart from other things, there is the daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches. Who is weak, and I am not weak? Who is made to fall, and I am not indignant? If I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus, He who is blessed forever, knows that I am not lying. At Damascus, the governor under King Aretas was guarding the city of Damascus in order to seize me, but I was let down in a basket through a window in the wall and escaped his hands. I must go on boasting. Though there is nothing to be gained by it, I will go on to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man was caught up into paradise, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And he heard things that cannot be told, which man may not utter. On behalf of this man I will boast, but on my own behalf I will not boast, except of my weaknesses. Though if I should wish to boast, I would not be a fool, for I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain from it, so that no one may think more of me than he sees in me or hears from me. So to keep me from being too elated by the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from being too elated. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We continue with our Lenten responsory. We stand for the Holy Gospel. To St. Luke, the 8th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When a great crowd was gathering, and people from town after town came to Jesus, he said in a parable, "A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on the rock. And as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. As he said these things, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. The ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of testing fall away. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. This is the gospel of the Lord. We continue with our hymn of the day, hymn 586. You may be seated.
mercy from God our Father, through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior. Amen. Text for our meditation this morning, the epistle reading that we heard a moment ago from 2 Corinthians 11 and 12, especially these two verses. 11, verse 30. If I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness. And the last verse. But God said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I remember as a young boy growing up, one of the greatest sports upsets in the history of the world. Young, brash boxer Cassius Clay was taking on the heavyweight champion of the world, Sonny Liston. Cassius Clay shocked the world. Shortly after the fight, he changed his name to Muhammad Ali. And he declared before the world, I am the greatest. A nickname that stuck with him, even to this day, even though he lost the title on several occasions. I remember also, in the 90s, a baseball fan watching one of the great baseball records about to be eclipsed. Lou Brock, the great base-stealing threat from the Cardinals, was about to have his name erased from the record books by brash Ricky Henderson. And when he broke the record, they stopped the game. He picked up the base. He held it up in front of all the fans. And he said, today, I am the greatest in the world. Just this last week, there was a lot of turmoil with regard to one of the greatest basketball players ever, LeBron James. The coach was fired. He was blamed. And when asked if he was really the one who orchestrated the firing of the coach and the hiring of the new man, LeBron James says, well, you know, I have an extremely high basketball IQ. It wouldn't be right for me to keep it to myself. If you read much of Luther, Luther oftentimes quotes a phrase in the German which loosely translated into the English goes like this. Self-praise stinks. It does, doesn't it? Self-praise stinks. How easy it is to fall into that trap where all we want to talk about is ourselves. Our three favorite pronouns, I, me, we. All you have to do is take a look at Twitter or Facebook. What's it about? It's all about me. We live in a world that encourages, promotes, and oftentimes rewards this kind of bragging and boasting and self-praise. And yet Luther's words are right. That proverb is still true. Self-praise stinks. So today, we encounter our epistle reading. The end of chapter 11, the beginning of chapter 12 in 2 Corinthians. And what is Paul doing? He is boasting. He is bragging. He is giving us a laundry list of all the wonderful things He has done for God. Now, why would He do that? Why would He brag and boast and go on and on like this? Almost to the point where we tune it out. My friends, all Scripture is written for our benefit. God's Word will not return to us void, as we heard in our Old Testament reading for today. And Paul is making a point, perhaps illustrating absurdity by being absurd himself. Being a fool for the sake of the gospel. Remember what the problem is with the Corinthian church? Well, there's lots of problems. It's pretty hard to narrow it down to one. But the biggest problem that underlied all the other problems was false teachers who came in. False teachers who came in and tried to rob the Corinthian church of the joy and freedom in the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus. They came in and said, yes, 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 Paul's a good guy. He's right. He just didn't quite have all of the details and all the information. Believe in Jesus. But here is what you need to do. What you need to add to Paul's message. What you need to add to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And to show that they were true messengers. True apostles. True teachers. They began to brag and give a long laundry list of all of their wonderful accomplishments, their pedigree, their resume, so to speak. When Paul was there, he came in humility. He came as one who made no draw to himself, but only to the Word of God. The Word of God, which clearly points to salvation in no one other than the God-man Jesus and His life, death, and resurrection for the salvation of the world. Freedom from the law and new life in Jesus Christ. And so now Paul found himself on the defensive. Paul found himself trying to stick up for the gospel of Jesus in light of these false teachers who had come in. And so what does Paul do? Paul says, well, if you are so easily enticed by fancy talk, I'll give you a little fancy talk of my own. You gladly bear with fools, being wise yourself. You bear it if someone makes slaves of you, or devours you, or takes advantage of you, or puts on airs, or strikes you in the face. He's talking about the false teachers here. The false teachers who had robbed them of the joy, had literally smack them in the face for believing the gospel. You like fancy talk? All right, buckle up. And Paul goes on to give his pedigree. He goes on to talk about his accomplishments. He goes on and on and on about how he has been persecuted and suffered and been in danger, all for the sake of Christ. And he says, you know what? None of it matters. None of it matters. Why? Because it's not about me. It's about Christ. Don't fall for this trick. Don't fall for this game, this lure of Satan, where we get caught up in the trappings, we get caught up in the wrappings, we get caught up in the tinsel, and miss the heart, the core, and the soul of the message, which is always Jesus Christ. You know, it would be really nice if this only happened back in the olden days and could never, ever happen today. But it happens all the time, doesn't it? Where we get enamored with what's on the outside rather than concentrating on the Word of God, Jesus Christ for us. It happens to us in the church as well. When we get our focus off of Christ, when we get our focus off of Christ's Word, what do we give credit for? And who do we give credit to? We're right back to that unholy trinity of me, myself, and I. Becomes a salvation of works rather than a salvation by grace through faith on account of Jesus. It was several years ago, I made a trip, was a conference, an evangelism workshop in Minneapolis. This was back in the day when knocking on doors and the old Kennedy evangelism questions were everywhere in the church, including our own Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. So after 2 days of intense training on how to knock on doors and ask questions, they set us loose. But our first visits were safe visits. That means our first visits were to leaders in the congregation who were hosting the workshop. And so my partner and I went to the house of the head elder of the church. We sat around and we visited, and finally we got to the point. I looked at the gentleman, and using those Kennedy evangelism questions, I said, "If you were to die and find yourself face to face with God, would He let you in?" And he said, "Absolutely." And I said, "Why? Why would He let you into heaven?" And he said, "You know, I've been a member of the church my whole life. I've been serving on the board of elders for the last 20 years. I've been the chairman of the congregation. I've been the head of stewardship. In fact, I was in charge of the last capital campaign. I taught Sunday school as a kid. My kids went to church." And he went on and on and on and on. It was a pretty impressive list. I didn't say a word. When he was done, I looked at his wife and I asked her the same questions. "Are you sure that God would let you into heaven?" "Absolutely." "Why?" "Because the blood of Jesus covers over my sin." And as soon as those words came out of her mouth, her husband said, "That's what I meant to say." Friends, how easy it is for us to think that what goes on in God's house is all about us. All about what we do. All about our accomplishments. All about how we serve and how we feel. My friends, today we can rejoice that in spite of the fact that so often we get things mixed up, we get our priorities out of whack, So often we think our words are more important than God's words. For all of these failures, for all of our sin, God has sent His Son, Jesus Christ, who gives us no laundry list of accomplishments. He simply does what we need. He lives and dies and rises and ascends and is really present for us. He gives us everything we need to support this body and life, and He gives us everything we need for all eternity. Forgiveness, life, and salvation. He doesn't want or need credit. He wants our hearts. He wants us to cling to Him and to His Word. He wants us to humble ourselves before the very Word of God. Because when we humble ourselves before the Word of God, we can brag. We can boast. We boast, I'm a poor, miserable sinner. We boast, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to Thy cross I cling. We boast, in the cross of Christ I glory. The world says, that's crazy. That's foolishness. And we say, right. We are fools for Christ. We boast of His greatness and our weakness. My friends, the children's song that we all know has it right. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. I am weak, but He is strong. Jesus loves me. How do you know? The Bible, the Word of God, tells me so. May God open our ears and our hearts to hear that Word, to believe that Word, to humble ourselves under that Word, and to serve freely, lovingly, joyfully, and boasting in our foolishness. Fools for Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts, our minds, our lives, our boasting, our weaknesses, in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Fellow fools for Christ, let us confess the hope that we have in the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This morning we use the words of the Nicene Creed, page 158. Please stand as you're able. I believe in one God,
Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of the Father before all worlds, God, light of life, very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all and was incarnate by the
whole church of God in Christ Jesus, and for all people according to their needs. Almighty God, your holy word is cast like seed into the ground. Wherever the seed of the good news of your Son, Jesus Christ, is sown, let it bring forth a bountiful harvest for your kingdom. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Holy Father, keep this nation under your care. Bless the leaders of our land, that we may be a people at peace among ourselves and a blessing to the other nations of the earth. Grant us trustworthy leaders who contribute to wise decisions for the general welfare. Let them serve you faithfully in our generation. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Merciful Father, through your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, you have established your church to be a temple and dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. We give you thanks that you continue to provide shepherds to feed and serve your flock, in which the Holy Spirit has made them overseers. Strengthen their labors, that through their ministry of word and sacrament, your people may increase in your knowledge and service, growing in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Loving Father, help us to remember your faithful people who sacrifice much and even face death rather than dishonor you when called upon to deny the faith. By your Holy Spirit, strengthen them to be faithful and to confess you boldly, knowing that your Son, Jesus, will confess your own before you in heaven. Lord, in your mercy, comforting Father, look with favor upon those who suffer in body and soul. Assure them of your mercy, deliver them from the temptations of the evil one, and give them patience and comfort in their illness. If it pleases you, restore them to health, or give them grace to accept their illness with courage and hope. Lord, in your mercy, giving Father, your Son, Jesus Christ, instituted the Holy Supper for the eating and drinking of the forgiveness of sins in his true body and true blood under bread and wine. Bless our participation with peace and joy in the knowledge that we are reconciled to you. Lord, in your mercy, eternal Father, we remember those who have fallen asleep in your Son, Jesus Christ, especially Margaret, Don Swanson, and Harold Mishnick. Comfort all those who mourn and prepare a place for us with them, that our heavenly reunion would be brought to fullness in your time. Lord, in your mercy, into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
You may be seated.
Jesus, at this time we ask that you would participate in what we call the rite of fellowship. Pat at the end of each row, please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship this day. Special word of welcome to those who are worshiping with us on the radio or on the internet. We pray that the good news of God's word for you, pointing to Jesus today and always, would be a strength in every time of weakness. At this time, we worship God with our gifts and offerings.
Story, page 159. Right and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who overcame the assaults of the devil and gave his life as a ransom for many, that with cleansed hearts we might be prepared joyfully to celebrate the Paschal feast in sincerity and truth. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created, and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of His body and His blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread.
Power and glory.
Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. blood of our crucified and risen Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in the true faith until life everlasting. Go with peace, with great joy. Your sins are forgiven. Amen. We stand for the Nunc Dimittis, page 165. Give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give to you peace.
Amen.
We remain standing for the final two stanzas of 578, stanzas 5 and 6.
Amen.
thank you. Special thanks for the brass and other special instruments today. Great focus where it needs to be. Not on us, but on Christ and His holy and precious Word. Coffee and goodies in the fellowship hall. You're all invited. Sunday school opening back in here in about, 5 to 7 minutes or so. A lot of stuff going on this week. We've got one Bible study this morning before I forget to mention that. Ecclesiastes. We'll continue our look. We're in Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Got a lot of stuff going on this week, and yet we have this big blizzard that's kind of looming over us. Well, I learned long a time ago, don't ever change your plans based on a forecast. If it gets here, it gets here. If it doesn't, it doesn't. Tuesday night, 5 to 8, big pancake feed fundraiser for the Pediatric Cancer Action Network. Everything is go, everything is moving forward. If the storm comes, we'll postpone it. We'll get the word out. Call. We'll have a message on the answering machine if there's any issues or concerns with that. When would we move it to? I don't know. Last year we had it the Tuesday before Ash Wednesday, which is traditionally known as Fat Tuesday, or in the Midwest, Pancake Tuesday. Maybe that would be an option. We'll see. As of right now, everything is a go for this Tuesday. Get the word out. Come and support. It's a great, great, great thing. Be reminded, Wednesday, regular stuff, our last Wednesday before Lent begins. If the Lincoln Public Schools calls off school because of snow,